Okay, so get this. Have you ever thought about like how your smartwatch could identify you? Like a fingerprint. We're going deep into some research that says that's totally possible. It's called wrist print. And today we're going to find out just how unique our movements actually are.
Yeah, that's right. We're not talking about the usual stuff like facial recognition or GPS. This research was presented at a huge cybersecurity conference, and it's all about the tiny movements we make without even realizing it and how they create a wrist print.
So, like in those crime shows where they use someone's walk to ID them.
Kind of, but way more subtle.
So, how does this wrist print model work? Is it some crazy AI watching my every move?
Pretty much. The
Ugh.
researchers used deep learning techniques, CNNs and RNNs, to analyze movement data from wrist-worn devices. You've probably heard of CNNs. They're used for image recognition, like recognizing cats in photos.
Right.
Well, here they're applied to movement data spotting patterns and how our wrists move.
So it's analyzing like every little twitch and turn.
Exactly. And that's where RNNs come in. They're awesome at understanding sequences, how our movements happen over time. So imagine the CNN picking up on the angles of your wrist during push-ups, and the RNN is understanding the pattern of your arm swinging when you walk. Combining these techniques, the model basically creates a motion picture of how you move.
Hold on. So even when I'm just sitting at my desk, my wrist movements are part of this wrist print. How's that even possible?
It's all about the data. The researchers used a data set from a study on work performance. 353 people wearing wrist devices for 10 weeks straight.
10 weeks. That's a ton of data.
It is. And that's what makes this research so interesting. It's based on real-world movements, not just theory.
Okay, that's kind of freaky. So this model's good at recognizing people it's already seen. But what about new people? People it hasn't been trained on. Can it really identify anyone?
That's where it gets even wilder. The researchers designed it as an open set problem, meaning the system can identify you even if you've never interacted with it before, like picking you out of a crowd based on your movement.
Wait, it can identify me even if it's never seen my data.
That's what they're saying. And to be sure, their model wasn't limited to just the study participants. They used something called entropy analysis. It basically confirmed that the system could theoretically handle a massive number of users.
So even if I've never given my data to any company, this model could still figure out who I am just from my wrist movements.
That's a major takeaway here. It highlights how our movements can be used to identify us, even in ways we might not expect. It raises big questions about privacy, especially now that data collection is everywhere.
This is a lot to process. I'm already looking at my smartwatch differently, but before I throw it out, let's talk about the re-identification risks themselves. Did they find that certain activities made people more identifiable than others?
Oh, absolutely. The type of activity has a huge effect on your re-identification risk.
Okay, so what's the riskiest? Drum roll, please.
Exercise, with walking coming in a close second.
Makes sense. Those activities have way more variations in movement than, say, sitting still. But I'm at my desk most of the day. Does that mean I'm safe?
Not necessarily. Even though we spend a lot of time stationary, all that data still helps with re-identification. It's like the model's slowly putting together your movement puzzle, even when you think you're not giving much away. Plus, it's not just the type of activity, but the intensity too.
So the more intense the movement, the higher the risk. So all that frantic typing during deadlines is probably broadcasting my identity to the world.
You got it. Higher intensity movements create more unique patterns for the model to pick up on.
Okay, picturing my last spin class. And yeah, I think someone could definitely ID me based on those crazy movements alone. But how much data does this model actually need to identify someone accurately?
This is the part that really blew my mind. Just one day of data gives you an average re-identification risk of 96%.
96%? That's insane. Why is it so accurate with just one day?
Well, remember we talked about how 80% of our time is stationary. That's still a ton of data, even if the movements are small. Combine that with walking exercise and other activities, and it paints a pretty complete picture of how you move.
That 96% is seriously alarming, especially knowing this model can ID people it's never even seen before. We need to talk more about what this all means, but first I need to grab some water. We'll be back in a flash to discuss how accurate this wrist print model really is. Okay, so we've been talking about how our wrist movements can basically create a unique wrist print, and honestly, it's kind of freaking me out. But before I ditch my smartwatch forever, I gotta know just how accurate is this model?
That's the big question, and that's where the research gets really interesting. They use something called an ROC curve to see how accurate the model is. Basically, it's a graph showing the trade-off between correctly identifying someone and you know, mistakenly identifying someone.
Got it. So a high true positive rate means the model is good at recognizing the right people.
Mm-hmm.
And a low false positive rate means it's not making a lot of mistakes.
Exactly. And the ROC curve for this risk print model, it's pretty impressive. Even with just a little bit of data, the model is super accurate at identifying people.
Did they like really put it through its paces?
Oh, yeah. Mm. They wanted to see if it could handle new people, not just the ones it was trained on. So they tested it on a totally different data set.
Okay, so like if you trained a dog to recognize its owner and then see if it can pick its owner out of a crowd.
Perfect analogy.
Yeah.
And how did the model do? It aced the test. Even with new people, the false acceptance rate stayed low.
Right.
Meaning it wasn't misidentifying people. So it's not just memorizing specific movements, it's learning something fundamental about how we move as humans.
Wow, that's both fascinating and a little scary. It means this technology could actually be used on a huge scale.
Exactly. Which brings us to the ethics of it all. Who should have access to this data? How do we make sure it's used responsibly? These are questions we really need to think about as this technology keeps developing.
It feels like we're walking a tightrope here. On one hand, we have these amazing tools that can track our health, help us get in shape, and maybe even catch health problems early on. But on the other hand, there's the potential for misuse, surveillance, and a real loss of privacy.
It's a classic double-edged sword. And it's not just smartwatches. Think about all the other devices that track movement. Smartphones, fitness trackers, even some cars.
It's starting to feel like we're living in some sci-fi movie where everything we do is being recorded. And the crazy part is most of us are totally okay with it. We agree to those super long terms and conditions without really knowing what we're signing up for.
So true. Convenience often wins over privacy concerns. But maybe it's time to start being more careful, more picky about what data we share and who we share it with. Because once it's out there, it's pretty much gone.
So what can we do? Are we just stuck with whatever these tech companies decide to do with our data?
Not necessarily. We can definitely take steps to protect our privacy. Be more aware of the devices we use and what data they're collecting. Choose devices that prioritize privacy or change the settings to limit data sharing.
It's about being more intentional about our digital footprint, taking control instead of just accepting the defaults.
Exactly. And there's a growing movement for data privacy regulation, which is encouraging. Laws like the GDPR in Europe are setting a good example for how companies should handle personal data.
So it sounds like things are starting to change. People are realizing how valuable their data is and the risks of sharing it too freely.
And that awareness is key. It reminds us that we're not powerless. We have a voice, and we can use it to demand more transparency, more control, and more accountability from these companies that are collecting our data.
This has been really eye-opening. It's not about rejecting technology altogether. It's about finding ways to use it responsibly and ethically. We need to balance innovation with ethical responsibility and have those tough conversations about what could happen, both good and bad.
I agree. And those conversations need to include everyone. Mm. Researchers, policymakers, tech companies, and most importantly, the people whose data is being collected.
It's about creating a future where technology helps us, not the other way around.
Oh.
Okay, we've covered accuracy and ethics, but I'm still stuck on this idea that even tiny bits of data can be used to identify us.
Yeah, that's one of the most mind-blowing findings from this research. The researchers found that in some cases, just a few minutes of data was enough for the model to be super accurate at identifying people.
Wait minutes. You mean like my quick trip to the coffee machine could be enough to give away my identity?
It is surprising, but it shows just how unique and consistent our movement patterns are. Even if we're doing the same thing as someone else, there are tiny differences that can be used to tell us apart.
So our movements are like a secret code, a fingerprint, but made of motion.
You got it. And the more data the model has, the more detail that fingerprint gets.
Okay, now I'm officially creeped out. Imagine someone tracking your every move, building a file of all your habits and routines, all from the data your smartwatch is silently collecting.
It's a real concern, which is why strong privacy protections are so important. We need to make sure this data is only used for good reasons and that people have control over how their data is collected and shared.
So what's next for this wrist print technology? Do you think it will become as normal as fingerprint scanning or facial recognition?
It's definitely possible. The potential uses are huge. But it's still early days. There are technical and ethical challenges to figure out, and we need to be careful and keep talking about it.
It's a reminder that with any new technology, we need to balance the excitement of what it can do with a healthy dose of critical thinking. We need to ask the tough questions and make sure we're using these powerful tools the right way.
Well said. We need to be proactive about creating a future where technology makes our lives better without sacrificing our privacy and freedom.
This has been a fascinating deep dive. We've explored the science, the risks, and the potential of wrist print technology.
And hopefully we've given our listeners something to think about when it comes to their own data and protecting their privacy in this increasingly digital world.
For sure. Before we wrap up, I want to touch on one more interesting thing from the research. They discovered that we were just talking about how even little bits of data can be used to ID us. The researchers found that different activities actually have like different identifiability scores.
Yeah, they found that exercise, especially really intense exercise, had the highest score, meaning it was the most unique and had the highest risk for re-identification.
So my killer spin class is more unique than my fingerprint. That's kind of awesome and kind of scary. But why is exercise so unique? Is it everyone has their own way of working out.
It's more than just style. Think about the actual movements you do during different exercises. The angles, the speed, how much force you use. It all creates a really distinct pattern that the model can pick up on.
Yeah, that makes sense. You wouldn't see those same sharp, explosive movements in someone just walking compared to someone doing burpees or jumping jacks.
Exactly. And that's why the researchers think that even short bursts of exercise data could be enough to identify someone. So yeah, your crazy workout could be your most unique identifier, even more than your fingerprint.
Okay, I'm definitely rethinking my fitness tracker now. But this makes me wonder if our movements are so unique and identifiable, what does that mean for the future? Are we heading towards a world where we can be tracked everywhere we go just by how we move?
It's a question we gotta think about. This tech is still new, but it's definitely possible. Imagine a world where how you walk is your passport. You could unlock your phone or buy groceries just by walking. It's exciting, but there are some downsides too.
It sounds straight out of a sci-fi movie, but it also makes me worried about privacy and being watched. Could this be used to track people without them knowing?
That's a valid concern, and it's something we need to be upfront about. Like any powerful tool, wrist print could be used for good or bad. It's up to us to make sure it's developed and used ethically with protections in place for people's privacy.
So what can we do to protect ourselves in this new world of movement tracking?
Being aware is a good start. Know what devices you use and what data they collect. Understand the privacy settings and make choices about what you're okay with sharing.
So basically taking control of our digital footprint, just like we do with our physical footprint. I wouldn't walk around with my social security number on my forehead, so why should I be careless with my movement data?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And don't forget, knowledge is power. The more we know about this stuff, the better we can navigate it and fight for policies that protect our privacy.
Well said. This deep dive into wrist print has been a real eye-opener. It's crazy to think that our movements can tell so much about us, and it's important to stay informed about what it all means, both good and bad.
Totally. This tech could change a lot of things, but it's up to us to make sure it's used responsibly and ethically.
So to everyone listening, think about how you move. It's probably not something you've thought about much before. How does it feel knowing that your movements could be used to identify you?
And like, always stay curious, stay informed, and be part of the conversation about data privacy and the future of technology.
And that's it for this episode of The Deep Dive. We'll be back next time with another deep dive into the world of data and tech. Until then, keep exploring. Keep asking questions and keep those wrists moving, but maybe with a little more awareness.